From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. Ahead, where this Cancer Blows event you've been hearing about came from. But first, a North Texas nurse who contracted Ebola last fall says the Dallas hospital where she worked and its parent company failed her. Nina Pham told the Dallas Morning News she plans on filing a lawsuit today against Texas Health Resources, the parent company of Texas Health Presbyterian. That's the hospital where Thomas Eric Duncan was treated for Ebola. Pham and another nurse who cared for Duncan contracted the deadly disease. Duncan died in October. Pham and a second nurse, Amber Vinson, recovered. Pham told the Morning News that Presbyterian Hospital lacked training and proper equipment to treat Ebola patients. Pham says since she's contracted Ebola, she's had nightmares, body aches, and insomnia. She says some of her hair has fallen out. Texas Health Resources spokesman Wendell Watson says the hospital continues to support Pham but wouldn't address the allegations. Now to this week's vital signs and the most aggressive form of breast cancer. Scientists at UT Southwestern Medical Center have identified a strong link between triple-negative breast cancer and a cellular housekeeping gene. Sam Baker talked about this with Dr. Theodora Ross, a breast cancer specialist at UT Southwestern.
Triple negative refers to the fact that it doesn't have estrogen receptors expressed, progesterone receptors expressed, or the HER2 new proteins in the cancer cell. Those three are good targets for the therapies that we have.
So the survival then for triple negative breast cancer today is what?
Depends on the stage. If it's stage four, there's no survival. 75 to 80% of patients are early enough stage that chemotherapy and surgery and radiation will take care of it.
So now the gene you've linked to this disease is called Beclin-1, and it's what, an autophagy gene? Could you explain what that is and how it's linked to the disease?
Autophagy is a fundamental process in the cell of keeping the cell clean, getting rid of proteins that are of no use. Beclin initiates that process. Beclin was discovered by Beth Levine back in the late 90s. They removed the protein from mice and found that those mice came down with breast cancer. So they identified Beclin as a tumor suppressor gene. Then Dr. Levine's group went ahead and looked at these databases in the United States and the UK of almost 3,000 patients. And they wanted to look at Beclin-1 and they wanted to look at BRCA1 and compare the two. The two are linked on the same chromosome, very close to each other. So the question has been, which one in cancers that are not genetic, does BRCA1 or Beclin-1 have something to do with those?
But you say patients who are not genetic, patients who are not predisposed to?
Exactly. So they compared BRCA1 and BRCA2 expression and found that Beclin-1 is frequently not expressed in triple-negative breast cancers.
So if there's more Beclin-1 present, there is less chance for triple-negative breast cancer to occur?
Correct. This is a very big discovery because there are already molecules out there used in the clinic, I wouldn't like to call them drugs yet, that increase Beclin levels. So if you could take a tumor and say, this tumor does not express enough Beclin, I'm going to give that patient this molecule that increases Beclin levels. That drug increases Beclin levels.
So this means you found something that can maybe attack or prevent triple negative breast cancer, and you don't necessarily have to invent a new drug to make this happen.
Correct.
It's quite possible they already exist.
Right. It's that companion diagnostic. Finding something in your tumor, some molecule that's altered, and with that alteration, you can say, I can use this drug.
We've made an important discovery, but what's next?
So we've discovered a potential marker for responses to drugs that increase Beclin levels. That's exactly where we are. There's no hype here, okay? You know, let's separate the hope from the hype. Yeah, there's hope. We found a new marker.
In the meantime, anything that the average person can do on their own to prevent breast cancer?
There's all the standard things. Alcohol is associated with breast cancer recurrence as well as incidence. Obviously, keeping fit is important. And then thinking about your family history. And if you see that you have a cancer history, going to your doctor and saying, you know, I think I need to talk to a genetic counselor, they'll refer you. Mm-hmm. Genetic counselors can figure out whether you need to be tested for a gene.
Dr. Ross, thank you for being with me.
Dr. Theodora Ross is an oncologist and cancer geneticist who directs the cancer genetics program at UT Southwestern in Dallas. Before a cancer diagnosis, a patient must recognize the signals and refused to ignore them. In Ryan Anthony's case, playing music more or less saved his life. He's the principal trumpet player for the Dallas Symphony, and he's raising awareness by bringing nearly 20 of the country's best trumpeters to Dallas. Jerome Weeks reports on Cancer Blows, which begins today.
The Dallas Symphony is rehearsing Samuel Barber's Violin Concerto. It's a famously difficult, beautiful piece for the violin, but right now, the trumpets add a gorgeous little touch. One of those horn players is Ryan Anthony, principal trumpet for the DSO, former child prodigy, former member of the Canadian Brass. But he's lucky to be playing. He's lucky to be alive. 2.5 years ago, playing the trumpet began to hurt.
Every time I would take a really deep breath or play something where it would take a lot of pressure, I would feel these shooting pains. So I thought I'd broken a rib somehow.
Doctors took dozens of x-rays and blood tests. No broken bones, no signs of lung cancer. There was this other cancer, a near impossibility. Less than 1% of multiple myeloma cases are people younger than 40. Anthony was 42.
But we kept asking, and they finally said, well, okay, we'll test just so you can know it's not cancer. And it came back positive.
Multiple myeloma is a bone marrow cancer. The white blood cells turn into lesions in the bones. And Anthony had lesions from his skull to his feet. Not long ago, before stem cell implants, he would have been given 2 to 3 years to live.
What did you feel when they said cancer?
Just disbelief. You know, it's just kind of hard to realize that that's what it is. And at the time when it was diagnosed, it was severe enough that we started treatments that day.
The doctors at Baylor's Cancer Center used chemotherapy basically to wipe out Anthony's immune system. Then they used stem cell implants to build him a new one. While he was going through all this, Anthony was visited by friends and colleagues, fellow trumpet players. Gathered like that, the idea often came up, whatever happens, we all ought to get together again for a big concert.
So I have to ask you a tough question here. Whose idea was it to call it Cancer Blows?
You know what? The name of it actually is my wife. She came up with it, and we laughed, and that was sort of the running joke.
Cancer Blows became more than a single benefit concert Wednesday at the Meyerson, featuring Doc Severinsen and Cuban jazz great Arturo Sandoval. Nearly 20 trumpeters are coming to town, including players with the New York Philharmonic and the Chicago Symphony. They naturally started coming up with workshops and masterclasses and a smaller concert tonight at the City Performance Hall. Tom Booth plays fourth trumpet in the DSO. He was one of Anthony's colleagues who filled in for him while he was undergoing the chemo and implants. Booth says Anthony surprised them.
He came back much faster than anybody expected and came back sounding fabulous. You forget that he's playing the trumpet sometimes. It's a great voice. It's just pure music.
It wasn't simply co-workers and musician friends who helped. Now in remission, Anthony gets a little choked up when he recalls his Sunnyvale neighbors holding a blood drive for him. In Wednesday's concert, he's reserved 2 solos for himself. One of them has a special meaning. It's called Gabriel's Oboe. It's transcribed for the trumpet from composer Ennio Morricone's soundtrack for the movie The Mission.
Become one of my favorite tunes the past few years, and that'll be a moment, if nothing else, just for me to thank all those who have been so supportive.
Jerome Weeks, KERA News.
100% of the money raised by Cancer Blows will go to cancer research. See a schedule of events at artandseek.org. This month and next, KERA Radio and TV are giving cancer special coverage. A KERA breakthrough series called Growing Up After Cancer will feature first-person stories of North Texas childhood cancer survivors. That starts March 18th on KERA Radio and online. NPR will continue its series, Living Cancer, the following week. And starting March 30th on KERA TV, PBS will air a special 3-part film presented by Ken Burns. It's called Cancer, the Emperor of All Maladies. And finally, a programming note. In honor of Texas Independence Day, we're launching a new program on KERA 90.1. It's a daily radio news magazine with a Texas accent. It's called Texas Standard. It's a statewide program that covers all things Texas, from breaking news to politics, from business to the arts. The show is based at KUT in Austin and co-produced by public radio stations across the state, including KERA. We'll be airing Texas Standard live at 10 o'clock each weekday morning.